to see each of you tonight. Hope you've had a good afternoon, and we appreciate your interest in the things of God that brings you to our service tonight. I want to read tonight to begin in Matthew the 7th chapter. I want to read verse 15. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15 is where we'll be reading. It says this: Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. I want you to notice that word, beware. We're going to talk about that tonight. The Bible uses that word in a number of places, things that we need to beware. The word beware, when it is defined, means to be on guard against, to take care, to avoid. And there are many things that we need to avoid as we study God's word. And so let's talk about that a little bit tonight. What is it that we need to beware? Let me get this on and I'll make better progress there. Okay, what is it we need to be careful of? Well, let's turn over to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 and 13. And I think we'll read of something over there. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. It says this: Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In my trip to Costa Rica, I was asked to speak on, can a Christian fall away and be lost? I looked at many passages of Scripture with the brethren there in the class that was conducted, and this is one of them. It says, Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. A Christian can depart from God once he has come to God, and we all need to be careful that that not happen to us. Go to the 12th chapter, if you will, of Hebrews, and let's look at verse 1. It says, therefore, Hebrews 12 and verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so the passages warn us against the matter of unbelief, that even though we are believers, we may become unbelievers. And we need to be careful, we need to beware that that not happen to us. But let's turn to another passage of Scripture, this time in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew, the 16th chapter, we'll look at verse 6 and then verses 11 and 12. And here's what we read there in God's Word, Matthew 16, verse 6. Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now drop down to verse 11. Jesus, of course, had spoken to them of bread, and he says in verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? The next verse says, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let's look again over to Luke chapter 12 and we'll find out just what that was. Luke chapter 12 at verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And so the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was hypocrisy. Jesus is teaching that men need to beware of any kind of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy was a problem of these religious leaders of the Jews. I think Wilson alluded to that this morning in the lesson, that this was something that they practiced and something with which God was very much dissatisfied. And if you go over to Matthew chapter 23, you'll find several instances and mentions of that. Verse 23 in particular of the chapter. Matthew 23, verse 23, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And so they were living in a hypocritical way. As we would say, sometimes they were majoring in minors and minoring in majors. And that was a real problem. Look further on in the same chapter there. If you look at verse 25, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." These people appeared to be a certain way on the outside, but inwardly they were not that way at all. And then we have verse 27, reading on several verses there. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.'" So these folks were living in a very hypocritical way, and Jesus said, you need to beware of that. Don't live in a hypocritical way. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. But let's look again. Look over at Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, and let's find something else in God's word that tells us to be careful of that. It says this, "And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses.'" Beware, Jesus says, of covetousness. We live in a society that is consumed with covetousness, the desire to gain material things. And a lot of people think that's all there is to life. If you can make a good living and you can get all of these things, then you've been a very great success. Jesus says, of course, that is not so. Look over at the book of Colossians, because we have a similar statement about that over in the letter to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 5. Many of you are familiar with these verses that I'm citing here. Colossians 3 verse 5 talks about your members. "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth." And it mentions several: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So Jesus says we need to beware of covetousness. Don't let that dominate your life. Don't let that be the principle by which you live. Beware of what? Beware of unbelief. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees that is hypocrisy. Beware of covetousness. If we're not careful, that can be the rule of our life. Let's look again. Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, at verse 38 through about verse 40, we find this reading. "Then he said to them in his teaching, 'Beware of the scribes, who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation.'" Sometimes people like to put on what they are. And of course, there's hypocrisy involved in that. Over in 1 Peter 3, let's look at another example of how that could be done, putting the emphasis in the wrong place. Over in 1 Peter 3, at verse 1 through verse 4, Peter is writing to wives and husbands there. And to the wives he says, "Be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. I think both of those passages are talking about any kind of pretense that someone would add or someone would put on. The scripture says we need to beware of that. While you're close there, let's go over to 2 Peter now. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, I think we find something else that the Bible tells us we need to beware of. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 15 says, of some, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Here were some men who had forsaken the right way. Go back to verse 3 in the same chapter there, and it tells about what kind of people these were. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. That takes us back. This is talking, of course, about false teachers. That takes us back to the passage with which we began in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Beware, Jesus says, of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Every religious teacher is not teaching the truth. The truth is found in God's word. And we need to be careful that we only follow what we read in God's word, not what someone teaches, because Jesus says there are many false prophets out in the world, false teachers, and we need to be careful about that. What we need to do is what we read over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, what each of us needs to do is what is found in that passage of Scripture, and it says there, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear. We need to go to the Word of God, and we need to say, this is why I believe what I believe, because it is taught in the Word of God. And so let us be careful about all of that. Several things the Bible says that we need to be careful about or beware of. Now, why do we need to beware? Well, let's go over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. In Colossians chapter 2, at verse 8, it says this, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. There's that word beware again. And it says that we need to beware because people may cheat us or deceive us in some way. 2 Peter chapter 2, let's look over there. In 2 Peter chapter 2, at verses 1 and 2, Peter says this, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Why do we need to beware? Well, those passages say that we can be spoiled or we can be cheated if we're not careful, and we don't want that to happen to us. Let's look again as to why we need to beware. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4, in Galatians chapter 2 at verse 4, it tells of this incident, and it says this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. Here again is the danger of false teaching. We can be led into error, and that's why we need to beware or be careful that we not believe something that is not true, something that some false teacher would teach but is not taught in the Word of God. Over in the Epistle of Jude, at verse 4, the record says this, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if we're not careful, we can be led into error, and we need to beware that not happen to us. Look again at 2 Peter chapter 3, this time at verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. The writer ends this epistle by saying, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." We can fall once we have obeyed the gospel and once we have come to the truth, and we need to be careful that that not happen to us. So, we see what we need to be aware of, we see why we need to be aware. Who is it that needs to be careful about all of this? Well, I think the scripture gives us some direction in that regard too. Over in Romans chapter 2 at verse 21. In Romans 2 and verse 21, the apostle says, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal?" This is directed to teachers or preachers. We have a similar thing over in 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 16, directed to Timothy, who was a young preacher of the gospel, and he needed to be careful about what he taught. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, the apostle writes to him saying, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." And then we have another warning over in James chapter 3 at verse 1. James chapter 3 verse 1 says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." So who is it that needs to beware? Well, certainly preachers and teachers need to beware of what they teach. Not only do we need to be careful about what we believe, but if we're preachers or teachers, we need to be careful about what we teach, because people's souls are involved. We need to teach nothing but the truth. Go with me again to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, and let's see who needs to be careful. This, of course, is when the apostle was dealing with the elders from the church at Ephesus. And in Acts, the 20th chapter, at verse 28, he said this to them. The apostle Paul said to these elders, "Therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Who is it that needs to beware? Who is it that needs to take heed? Elders of the Lord's church need to take heed. And then in the letter to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, we'll see those who are addressed here. It's written to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. That's in Philippians 1 and verse 1, with the bishops and deacons. So it's being written in general to Christians that are there. And then look at the third chapter of Philippians, the first two verses of chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." Here's our word again. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. There were some who were teaching, of course, that one must become as a Jew in order to be a Christian. And that was false teaching. And so here are terms that are used for false teachers that are there. So all Christians need to beware, need to be careful. Let's think finally about just how we can do this. How is it that we can beware? Well, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, here's what the record says. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." How is it that we're going to be careful? We need to have a knowledge of God's will. We need to read and study the Scriptures. We need to teach only what we find in the Word of God, nothing more and nothing less. Go again to 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 3. In 2 Peter 1 at verse 3, the inspired writer says that God's power, as His divine power, has given to us, and I think he's speaking of the apostles, himself and the apostles, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Here's the knowledge of God's will. We need to have that knowledge. And that's how we can be careful. That's how we can beware of these things that he talked about. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, God's people said, the record says about God's people, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We simply must learn God's word and teach and believe only what we find in the Word of God. In Romans, the 10th chapter, at verse 2, when the Apostle Paul had preached the gospel and he was concerned about his own countrymen, for he himself had practiced Judaism as many of those people did, his brethren in the flesh. And he says here in Romans 10, at verse 2, verse 1, he says, My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, listen, but not according to knowledge. We need to be careful about the knowledge of God's word, the knowledge of God's will. That's one of the ways that we can beware. And then look at Mark the 13th chapter, if you will. In Mark the 13th chapter, at verse 33 beginning, we have this reading. Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 33. Jesus said, "Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." We have a similar statement in the next chapter of Mark, when Jesus was speaking of his disciples, and it says he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Simon, "Could you not watch 1 hour, verse 38, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So how do we be careful? We have a knowledge. We gain a knowledge of God's word. We study and learn God's word. And then we watch and we're alert and we pray. And in that way, I believe that we can be successful in the warning that is given to us here. Now, the question tonight is, as we close, will we apply the lesson? In James chapter 4, at verse 17, James said this. He said, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." God says it's good for us to be careful. It's good for us to be aware. Will we do that? I hope that we will. And accept nothing except what is taught in the Word of God. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, that stands as the greatest need of your life. To obey the Scripture, to do what the Scripture says that you must do in order to be a child of God. Men give different answers to that. God's answer is clear, I believe, in the Scripture. Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins," John 8 and verse 24. We find that the Scripture teaches that men must repent of their sins in order to be saved. That was the answer that was given on the day of Pentecost when men said, "What must we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And so one must be baptized. Having confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, one is baptized for the remission of his sins. And in that we die to sin and we rise to walk as a new Christian. If you haven't done that, that needs to be the greatest need of your life. We hope that you'll give attention to that. If we can help you with that tonight, we'd be glad to. If we can study with you further, we'll be glad to do that. If you're here tonight and you are a Christian, and maybe you haven't heeded the warnings that are given in God's Word, and you need to confess wrong, and let us pray with you for the forgiveness of your sin, we'd be happy to assist you in that way. If anyone's subject tonight to the invitation of the gospel, we invite you to come while we stand and sing this song.
Jesus, the loving shepherd.